Let's pray. Father, it's amazing to be in your house and amongst family. We just pray that in this moment you would speak to us, you would minister to us, you would open eyes and warm hearts, and that you bring all of us into a new, fresh, living encounter with you. And we ask this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Normally at this point in the service, we pause and we read from the Bible, and then we take a moment to explore what we've read from the Bible and to see what does it teach us about God and what does it teach us about life and living in a relationship with it. The passage that we turn to this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11 together, and we're going to focus on a few verses and probably come back to it over the next couple of weeks. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked them to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This morning, we take just a few of these verses, and we kind of go through this passage almost verse by verse, but we take a few verses this morning to look at and explore the others over the next coming weeks. And the passage opens by saying, one day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. It's the running theme of Jesus' ministry that where he is, he draws a crowd. We read it throughout the Gospels, throughout the counts of his life, whether it be within a city, within a town, within a village, wherever he turns up, he gathers a crowd. And this hasn't changed over the passage of time. Right now, up and down the length and breadth of this country, people are crowding around the presence of Jesus. In fact, throughout the course of this day, all across the world, people are crowding around Jesus. In different continents, different time zones, within varying and differing cultures, churches are opening up their doors and hosting people within the presence of Jesus Christ. And we see then that what happened in the Bible is that which still happens today. In fact, even within this moment right now, we in this room are reflecting and embodying what we read of in this passage in Luke chapter 5. But what is particularly fascinating in this passage is that Jesus isn't described as being in a town or a village or a city. He is standing by the Sea of Galilee. He's at the water's edge. He's on the shoreline. And even although he's not within a suburb or an urban area or an area that would suggest population, even though he's at the shoreline, he still gathers a crowd. And this is significant because the passage we're reading is from Luke chapter 5. We're only 5 chapters into Luke's gospel. But actually, Luke's gospel contains 24 chapters, so we're a fifth of the way into the journey and the record of Jesus' life and ministry. And even though we're so far through, we're really at quite an early stage in terms of his life and ministry. The first 2 chapters of Luke are dedicated to his birth story with angels and shepherds afoot. Chapter 3 of Luke's Gospel is actually kind of mostly about John the Baptist and him setting the scene for Jesus. In chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness, in the desert land where he is for just over a month. So by the time we arrive in chapter 5, Jesus has only really performed one or two miracles. But even so, even though he's kind of coming off the starting blocks here, already the rule is seen as being in place. Jesus turns up and he gathers a crowd. Here's a question. What makes a people gather around the presence of Jesus? Have you ever considered that? Why do people intentionally and purposely gather around the presence of Jesus? Every Sunday, even multiple times during a week, people gather around the presence of Christ. Why do people build into their lives this pattern? In fact, why do people not only gather around Jesus, but build their whole lives around Jesus? See, if you think about it, as human beings, we're used to crowding around that which is important in our lives. It's kind of part of human behavior. We gather around stuff that is important to us, like our favorite football team or sports team, our favorite band or musician. We crowd around them. We gather to celebrate loved ones. We crowd together to be entertained. We gather around the arts. We gather around politics. We gather around charity or causes or crisis or drama. Gathering around that which is important to us is not alien to us. It's part of human life and living. It's part of human behavior. And here, right at the very start of Jesus' ministry, we see this moment that becomes a common picture presented time and time again. People gather around the presence of Christ because Jesus Christ is important. He is significant, and his word and his presence brings life. Amen? Now, zoom in a little bit more on this verse with me. Because Luke, as he records this moment for us, he identifies the intentions of this crowd, the intentionality of the crowd. He tells us that the people were crowding around Jesus, listening to the word of God. If you really were to drill down on the wording, it's almost as though when he says that people are crowding around him, it's almost presenting this picture of Jesus standing in the middle of them all and the crowd round about them. But whether you view it as him standing in the middle or whether he's just standing there with the crowd in front of him, what we see is that Jesus is present with and standing amongst this group of people who want to hear the word of God. They want to learn about God. And this is a crowd that is not only intentional in their gathering, but they are decisive. They have made the decision to stand in this place, to pause their life and living for a while, to stop from whatever it is that they've been doing, and to listen to Jesus speaking the words of God. Every person in this crowd is there because they've chosen to be there. They could have just walked away. They could have chosen to spend their time doing other things. They could have decided not to stop, but to keep on keeping on. But yet they did stop. They are waiting. They have chosen and decided to listen to the word of God. They have selected to be in the presence of Jesus. Out of everything that they could be doing, they have positioned themselves in the presence of Christ and gathered around his word. And if you think about it, Jesus equally, he could have moved on. He could be doing other things. He's just off the starting blocks of his ministry. He's got a lot of ground to cover. He could have chosen to press on, to focus on advancing his cause, to keep moving with his message. But Jesus stops to respond to those who intentionally and decisively gather around his presence and his word. He stands with them. He chooses to respond to them. He brings revelation to them. He is intentional with them as they are with him. And this is a beautiful picture in Luke chapter 5 of the church. The church is made up of people from every walk and background of life, people who intentionally and decisively build their lives around the presence and the word of God. And we are intentional in that choice because we have found that there is life in the life of Jesus. There is power and truth in his word, and there is transformation to be found in his presence. Amen? Help me out here, folks. Amen? And in fact, this moment that we exist in right now, this moment in this room, is evidence of the truth and the power of the word of God. Because we are multiple centuries after this moment in Luke 5 has taken place. And here, multiple centuries later, is a crowd of people intentionally and decisively gathering around the presence of Jesus. Since this passage in Luke 5 was written, there has been so many advancements and changes. Developments in technology, breakthrough in science, advancements in medicine and education. As a human race, we have grown in knowledge and understanding, and we have broken many frontiers, both positively and negatively. We've even seen changes in the arts and entertainment and the very fabric and framework of society. But yet, even though there's been all these developments, all these advancements, all these breakthroughs, all these changes, one thing remains unchanged. People still gather around the presence of Jesus. And Jesus still turns up and presences himself amongst those who intentionally and decisively gather around his word and his reality. How cool is that? What we read is taking place over 2,000 years ago, still happens today, right now. People gather around the presence of Christ. And we call this gathering, this intentional and decisive community, we call it church. And in this moment in Luke chapter 5, we see a brilliant example of what it should look like to be part of this community. Luke begins his record of this moment by focusing us on the crowd in that opening verse. But then the lens quickly changes, and the passage says that Jesus saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked them to put it out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. With this verse, our view opens up. The camera pans out, as it were, and we begin to see the wider scene. There are some fishermen nearby this crowd of people. These fishermen are not part of the crowd. They sit outside of it. These men are not gathering around Jesus like the others are. They're not trying to listen to the word of God as Jesus is sharing it. You would have thought that these fishermen would have been intrigued by the crowd on the shore next to them, because that's what happens when you see a crowd. You become intrigued. What are they looking at? Why is everyone gathering there? What's going on? What am I missing out on? So you would have thought that they would have been keen to investigate, to see what is all the fuss about, to try and figure out what is going on. What is it that people are looking at? What is so intriguing that it has gathered a crowd? But they don't. They don't seem interested, quite frankly. And perhaps for a good reason. We're told they're washing their nets. They've just been on the night shift. They're working all night on what would appear to have been quite an unsuccessful evening of work. They've put in the effort, but they haven't found any reward. In fact, Luke tells us that they fished all night and hadn't caught a single thing. That must have been quite disheartening for them. Ever get those moments when it feels like life isn't quite in the right setting or in the right mode? Like it's in the wrong mode and you're going through the motions but just not seeing any results. That's where these guys are at. They fished all night, they haven't caught a thing, and here they are washing their nets, they're clearing up from an empty night, getting things ready when they're going to do the same thing all over again and hope for different results. That's apparently the definition of insanity. Anyway, Jesus, his vision moves from the crowd surrounding him to these guys on the periphery of it. In fact, it's not even that they're on the periphery of it. These guys just plain aren't in the crowd. It's not like they're on the edges. They're just not in it. But yet, Jesus sees them. sees where they're at, and he sees what they're doing. You would think that Jesus would have been consumed with the presence of the faithful in front of him. He had a captive audience of people who are eager to be where he is, to hear what he has to say. You would think that he would have zoned in on this group of people who have intentionally chosen to be in his presence because they want to be there, as opposed to those who haven't. But no. Jesus sees outside the parameters of this crowd. He sees those on the periphery, as it were, and he moves towards them. It says he stepped into their boat, which by definition means he has chosen to step in this moment from this crowd of people round about him who just want to hear what he's got to say. He has chosen to move towards those that are on the periphery. And he steps into their boat. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but it is. This boat is these guys' livelihood. They spend a lot of their time in this boat. It's familiar to them. It's their everyday space. It forms part of their daily routine. And Jesus steps into that. He puts himself in. Now, there's this crowd of people gathering around him who want to hear what he has to say. They want to hear the word of God. They have chosen to be present in this moment. The fishermen have not. We have in this moment a group of people who are decisive and direct in terms of their actions and positions. They are determined to hear the word of God and to be in the presence of Jesus. And on the periphery of that, on the outside of that, is these fishermen. It's like these guys are in the same moment, but they're not part of it. But Jesus brings them in. As he steps into their boat, they suddenly become part of what he is doing. He includes them. In one move, Jesus brings them from the periphery into what is unfolding. They move from being on the outskirts and from being uninvolved to being in the midst of it all and being where Jesus is. Jesus includes. He draws those from the outskirts and the peripheries and he brings them in. That's what he does. And look at how he does it. It says, he asks. The Bible says he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked to be put out a little from the shore. He asks. He doesn't command or demand. He doesn't insist. He doesn't force, nor does he commandeer. There is no sense of authority or divine influence or pressure here. He asks. And yet his ask is actually an invitation into something. He asks to step into their boat, but yet in doing so, he invites them into something. He invites them into his activity, into his ministry. He invites them into an encounter with himself. They are not in the community of the faithful gathering around the word in the presence of Christ, but they are in Jesus' vision. And he sees them and he sees what they're doing and he brings them in. Now, today is Bring a Friend Sunday at our church. A day in which we, a community that intentionally and decisively gathers around the presence and the word of God, we invite our friends and family along with us to church. So maybe you're here and this is your first time in church. Maybe you've been to church before, but you haven't been in a long time. Perhaps you sat through the worship today and felt a little bit on the outside of things. It's a bit different, a bit new to you, or you're maybe thinking, that's code for, I just thought it was all weird. Maybe you're not really into the God stuff. Maybe you've not really had faith in religion on your radar. So maybe in this moment, or maybe generally in life, you identify a bit with the fishermen in these verses, kind of intentionally and decisively not doing the Jesus thing. Maybe you've chosen to sit on the outside of the faith stuff and never really sought to check out what those gathering around the presence of Jesus are hyped up about. But you know what? Jesus sees you. He is not one that is only focused on the faithful. He's not one who is only interested in those who gather around him. He doesn't ignore those who haven't chosen to gather around his word and presence. You are in his vision. He sees you. He knows you. And he really cares for you. He sees where you're at. He sees what's going on in your world. He sees you and he extends an invitation to step into what he's doing and to be where he's at. He doesn't force. He doesn't command or demand. He doesn't pressure or commandeer. He asks. And today, he asks you, will you explore the life that is found in the life of Jesus? Think about it. Thousands of years after this moment is recorded and written down in history, centuries after this has taken place, there are still those intentionally gathering around the presence of Christ, worshipping with a passion, coming together with people from all different walks of life and placing Jesus in the center of everything because he is real, he is alive, and he changes lives. Thousands of years after these words were penned in Luke 5, we still find Jesus turning up amongst those who intentionally gather around his presence and his word. And centuries after this was written, the number of people who have and are gathering around Jesus has grown exponentially. And have and do come from all different walks of life, all different nationalities, all different cultural backgrounds, which surely shows that there is some truth in this Jesus and there's power in his presence. And this growth and worldwide global revolution is because ever since the day that these words have been written, Jesus has been lifting his gaze from beyond the boundaries of the faithful to those who sit outside of it and drawing them in and inviting them in. In Luke 5, Jesus gets into the disciples' boat. He steps into that which represents their livelihood. He steps into that which is familiar, their everyday space and their routine. He steps in and he sits down. Jesus is radically inclusive. He puts himself into our worlds, into our everyday spaces. He sets himself up within the familiar landscapes and he positions himself within the routine. He moves the pieces around, shifts things about a bit and puts things in place in order to reveal himself and his reality to us. And as he does, he invites us into who he is and into what he's doing. I can guarantee you that if you look close enough, you will see the fingerprints of Jesus within the landscape of your familiar. I can promise you with great confidence that if you shift the lens of your soul a little bit and look closely, you will see Jesus within the everyday space and within the setting of your routine. What we're talking about? We're talking about the things that catch your eye, the conversations that take place, the thought processes that unfold, the people that suddenly move into your sphere of influence, the friendships that develop, all of these things that begin to point towards Jesus, cause us to think about Jesus, turn our attention and our thoughts towards Jesus and his reality and his existence. These are all signs of him setting himself up within the landscape of our familiar and inviting us into what he's doing. See, here's the thing. Jesus gets into the fisherman's boat and he asks them to put out into the water. And there, sitting with them in their boat, Jesus continues to do what he's been doing before. He teaches the crowd. Now, these fishermen are part of that crowd. Before they were sitting outside of it, Jesus jumps into their boat, puts out into the water and keeps doing what he's doing. But now those people sitting outside of it are part of it. Now these fishermen are hearing his teaching and exploring his presence. Now they are receiving understanding and receiving revelation about God. Now they're experiencing the presence of Jesus. He moves these fishermen from the periphery to now being slap bang in the centre. He moves them from sitting outside to now being part of the community that gathers around the word and the presence of faith. And he does so by invitation. I think as a church and as people, we need to learn something from Jesus here. He doesn't command and commandeer. He doesn't demand faith. He invites. And here in a nutshell is the invitation of faith. Here is what Jesus invites us into. He invites us into an intentional and decisive participation in the community gathering round the word in the presence of Christ. We call that church. Jesus takes us and he draws us in. He brings us to a place of belonging, a place of acceptance, a place of inclusion. He includes us, warts and all. He sees us and he says, I want you and I want to be known by you. I choose you. I bring you in to be part of me. You can be part of this. There is a place for you. You can and you are accepted. But more than just an invitation to be part of something, he invites us to be with him, to be in his presence where he is. You see, faith in Jesus isn't about doing church. It's about being with Christ. It's about having a real living encounter and experience of him that shapes our every single day. Faith in Jesus isn't about doing church. Faith in Jesus involves church. But faith in Jesus is all well and truly about Jesus Christ and about being in a relationship with him. And he invites us into that. He invites us to encounter him, to discover him, to experience for ourselves that he is real, he is alive, and that he changes lives. From this moment on in Luke 5, these fishermen never doubted the presence and existence and the identity of Jesus, because they were brought into a position where they encountered and experienced him and discovered for themselves who he was and that he is real. Think about it. Jesus didn't walk up to these fishermen and say to them, believe in me right now. You are worthless, scummy sinners. And you need me and you need to believe in me. So hit your belief switch in this instant and tune it to the Jesus setting, please. No, he gets into their boat. And he asks them to put it out into the water. He didn't say, pass me the oars and let me put it out into the water. I commandeer this boat in the name of God. Hand over the keys. No, he says, you put the boat out into the water. He says, would you come with me? He invites them to sit with him, to listen into him. He steps into their world, sets himself up within their familiar and their everyday space, and he brings them into his presence, and he brings them into a place where he can, where they can encounter and explore who he is and what he does. And as they do, he invites them to discover and find for themselves. And when they discover, they are never the same again. Right now, Jesus extends an invitation to you. It's an invitation to be part of something, yes. He says that you can belong. He says that you're wanted. He says that you're accepted. But let's not mistake faith in Jesus with church. Church is part of faith, but faith is all about Christ and encountering his reality. So Jesus steps into your world. He sets himself up within your everyday and the familiar. And he invites you to discover and to explore who he is and what he's like. He invites you to sit with him, listen to him, experience him, encounter him, and see for yourself that he is real and alive and worth knowing. He doesn't command and demand faith from you. He invites you. Discover me. Explore me. Encounter me. Experience me. See. We've got to learn from Jesus. We need to stop commanding and demanding faith in people. Too often at church, we can be really guilty of that. Here's the gospel. Believe now. Believe what we believe. Whereas Jesus says, come sit with me. Come explore my presence. Come listen in for a bit. Come explore this. Come think about this. Come be with me. Do you know, if you're here today as a visitor or a guest and you've been on the receiving end of people preaching at you, people demanding belief from you, I just want to say I'm really sorry. And instead, to echo the words of Jesus, he just extends an invitation to you today. Just come and sit with him for a bit. Come experience his presence. Come and encounter him. The third invitation of faith, he invites us to be part of something. He invites us to be with him. And the third invitation of faith is to do what he is doing. Jesus, in getting into the boat and asking it to be put out into the water, it sees the fisherman swept into what he was doing. In fact, this is the conclusion of the whole encounter. He turns to Simon and he invites Simon to be part of what he's doing on the face of the earth. He brings him in, not just to the community gathering around his word and his presence, and not just into a discovery of who he is, but he invites him into what he's doing. He gives him a call. He gives him a purpose. He brings definition to his life. He gives him direction. He releases him to carry the cause and to be part of what he's doing upon the face of the earth. Because that's what Jesus does. He invites all within the boundaries of his heart. He is radically inclusive. But the thing about Jesus' inclusivity is that he sets the boundaries of that and not us. He says, you're welcome in my heart, you're welcome within the boundaries of my love and the reality of who I am, but this inclusion doesn't give you permission to change the boundary lines. The change that comes attached to his inclusivity flows from his heart to ours and not the other way around. This passage, as we read it, is all about change. There is loads of change happening. In this moment, you'll notice that change flows from Jesus towards the people around him. He is the constant. Those around him and who encounter him, they're the ones that embody and experience the change. To be clear, this invitation from Jesus was inclusive, but it was also utterly transformative. To accept the invitation of Jesus, to be accepted and included, it is to be brought into who he is. It's to be brought into what he's doing. It's to be brought into the community that gathers around him. But it also involves transformation. And everyone who encounters Jesus is changed by him. And nobody ever regrets it. Everyone who discovers and explores his reality is utterly transformed by what they discover. These fishermen left their nets and followed him. They abandoned what had been their normative to begin to explore a new normal, a life in relationship with Jesus, which they gave their entire lives to. The very fact that one encounter with Jesus saw them leave everything to follow him surely goes to prove how utterly life-giving and life-changing Jesus really is. Today, Jesus issues an invitation. Come and be part of something. You can and will be accepted. Come and be included. Move from the periphery to the inside. But more important than that, his invitation is, come be with me. Come sit with me. Come listen. Come explore. Come encounter. Come experience who I am and what I do. And come and be part of what I'm doing upon the face of this earth. It could just be that today you're sitting in this room today, in this gathering round the presence of Jesus. Because he has inserted himself into your world. He has moved the pieces about, brought some people alongside you, and has orchestrated it that you're sitting in this place today. because he wants to issue to you the invitation. Come and explore the life that is in the life of Jesus.